Hoe kan jouw organisatie verbeteren? Hoe zorg je voor collega's die gelukkiger zijn? En hoe geef je zelf vorm aan je carrière? Je hoort het allemaal op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio Work. Met wetenschappelijke inzichten en de beste praktijkvoorbeelden. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio Work.
Let's Talk Business wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door baas.nl.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International.
Welcome to new Let's Talk Business here at New Business Radio. Launch your tech career. Companies evolve and certainly when it comes to new digital topics. So launching your tech career could be a wonderful chance and option. But where to start? And how do you respond to modern market trends? And how do you keep learning and growing as a person and professional? Well, we're going to talk about this topic with LeWagon. LeWagon helps people change their life by teaching them the skills they need to progress in their career, land their dream job in tech, or launch their startup. My name is Martine Howard and my guests today are here in the studio Frank Dirard, City Manager Amsterdam, and online Boris Pelliard, co-founder and CEO, both from LeWagon.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International. Martine Howard.
Well, Frank and Boris, a very warm welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Hello. Boris, also to
good
you.
Good morning, yeah. Good
You're
morning.
Online. Where are you now?
I'm in my flat in Paris, actually. Yeah.
From Paris. Great. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful that you're here. We're going to talk about a wonderful topic, launching your tech career. We're going to talk about LeWagon. How did you really grow as a company, of course? And how do you really, help people with all those boot camps you're organizing around 25 countries? Because you're operating now in 45 cities around 25 countries. That's really a lot, Boris.
Yeah, that's a lot. Actually, it's a long story. It started like 10 years ago, which is a lot for, let's say, a startup.
Yeah.
We were one of the pioneers in this new format of, you know, educating people in a very short period of time back in the day in 2013. And it has grown a lot. And we focused a lot on the product, on scaling that with the same student experience and consistency in our job outcomes.
Yeah.
And it's been a great ride since for the last 10 years, basically.
Yeah. Frank, you're a city manager at Amsterdam. You're really operating in Amsterdam. Is it really different, you think, in Amsterdam than in other countries?
Well, of course, there are specificities for the country, but now we operate really as one. And so we have, the help of the global team for delivering the boot camps that we do here in the Netherlands.
Yeah. And you first started as a student, right?
Yes, actually, that's the nice story. I was myself a student 2 years and a half ago. I wanted to work in the tech industry. Mm-hmm. And then this opportunity came up for me while I was doing the bootcamp to work at LeWagon. And so, yeah, it's been a great ride.
Yeah. And it must be something that you were really enthusiastic about. Like you really liked it, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't do this job.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, it was not in my radar at first to work at LeWagon. I was doing it for becoming a product manager in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And I loved my experience at LeWagon for the content, for the community aspects. It's a life-changing experience, really. So that's why I experienced it. And so I was really happy to keep on, you know, contributing and being part of this, delivering this amazing experience to more people that want to access the tech industry.
Yeah, wonderful. Launching your tech career, I think it's a very important topic, especially nowadays, with all with everything going on in the world, also in the digital and tech world. Boris, if you really look back, you already pointed it out like 10 years ago, 2013, you really started this. Why did you start then? Why was it so important? Because now the world is different than then.
Yeah, of course. So the world is different and we need to update and change our course because the job market is changing, new jobs are coming. But essentially, it's been the same, pattern for the last 10 years. Originally, I launched the company because myself, I was a bit stuck in a career where I was not fulfilled. And for me, what I did at the time was to learn to code on my own. So it took me 2 years on the side of my job. And it was a way to switch to the tech industry. So a bit like Frank, I didn't know, essentially I could be a product manager or, maybe work as a developer or launch my own company. I was not sure, but for me, learning to code, getting into tech was the way to switch my career. So that's for me, my personal journey. But it took me 2 years because you know, resources are very scattered on the internet. It's very hard to get the best practices and to launch. And it requires a lot of commitments.
Yeah.
So I just told myself that, yeah, why not like teach that in 2 months to people? And that's how we started. Like I basically launched the program I was looking for at the time to change my career. And that's how it started.
Yeah. All the boot camps you have are during like 9 weeks, right? If you really want to do it directly. Yeah,
so it's called boot camps. You know, it's come from the military vocabulary. It means like intensive program where you really practice a lot. It's 400 hours, so it's like an academic year, but in 2 months, very concentrated. But for people who have a job, we also have like the 6 months part-time option where you can do that, you know, on the side with a flexible hours in the evening. So it's for people who want to do a career switch, but who are basically like busy with their current job or have some family constraints and they can't take 2 months off. Basically.
Yeah. I already asked this question to Frank before our radio show. What is more popular, the boot camp or more the part-time one?
So we call both boot camps.
Yeah. But the part-time like boot camp or the 9 weeks directly, yeah?
I would say it's still like the main program that we run is the full-time one. That being said, we operate them on-site. So for instance, with the campus that we have in Amsterdam, but we also operate them online because same, there are people who are not based in Amsterdam or in Paris or in Berlin or all the city where we have campuses. So I would say online part-time is very popular, but on-site, when people can, of course, they prefer like to change their life in 2 months. It's a more, you know, concentrated experience. So I would say, yeah, it's more popular in the full-time on the on-site, but on the online, yeah, people do love to be able to have the option to switch their career with more time and flexibility, basically.
Yeah, especially nowadays, the flexibility, I think, is also very important, huh?
Yeah, exactly, because also, as we all know, there has been some tech layoffs. So the job market is still, let's be honest, like the job market is still quite hard.
Yeah.
So for people to be able to switch career, but not taking necessarily the risk to quit their job, or you know, I think it's really relevant as well in today's market.
Yeah, if we look just at Amsterdam, I think also the community, but I can also imagine on the other cities is also very important. The community is also a big thing, right? If you're really doing this life together, you also have a big community. You really meet other tech people.
Yes, exactly. And I think people also come not only for the tech training, the learning content in itself, but also for this community aspect to have networking opportunities.
Yeah.
So of course, that's one of our focus to create partnerships, to have partnerships with startups, hiring partners, initiatives to promote like all these aspects. And specifically in the Netherlands, it's really interesting. There is a very active startup ecosystem. And so, Lewagen, we try really to be part of all these events to give opportunities for our students to land a job after the bootcamp.
Yeah, what makes it so active then? And what kind of things you see that?
Well, I think the Netherlands, you know, it has a lot of aspects that are very interesting. First, like a very high level of English speaking professionals, a lot of tech hubs, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Utrecht, The Hague, very well connected as well. And there is also a labor shortage, you know, in the Netherlands. I think it's from the Dutch Central Bureau of Statistics, there are 133 openings for 100 people, so which makes it also very attractive for people to launch their company here or to start their career in tech.
Yeah, there's a lot of work here, you can say, and we really need tech people, not only around the world, but especially also here in Holland. If we look at your boot camps, I see data analytics bootcamp, a web development, data science, and destination bootcamp. What is really the popular one, or doesn't it matter?
So historically, we launched web development first, and it was our focus to consolidate it as much as possible before moving on to new programs.
Yeah.
So today we see different trends depending on the countries, but the need for data skills is growing a lot. And so all these skills in data analytics, data science and AI, with all these trends of big data, machine learning, are really taking over, and so we see an interesting market trend, and a lot of people that want to acquire these skills to work either as data analysts, data scientists, data engineers, but also in jobs that are not necessarily using data all the time, like, I don't know, marketing, finance, but yeah, people that need to at least understand and be able to extract and analyze data and visualize it, you know, in their day to day.
Yeah. Do you really see that still people, a lot of people really don't know what there is possible all with those data and digital world things and the tech world? Because I think we can still learn a lot, right?
Yeah. So we try to empower people to raise awareness on how important and interesting it is to use data to make data-driven decisions now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we see a lot of like needs growing from the market. Any company now needs to be able to use data to remain competitive.
Yeah.
And so that's where we see a lot of jobs creation, specifically in the Netherlands as well. And so a lot of people interested in getting these skills. And we see that also in companies themselves, they need to retrain and upskill their workforces to be more competitive.
Yeah.
And to add to what Frank is saying, like, I think bootcamps are so popular because on a personal level, when you try to learn web development or data science or data analytics, it seems like a big wall. Like, it seems something that's, you know, you will try to play a bit around, do some tutorials, but at some point, you know, it's everyone is busy and you think like, yeah, I'll never get all the skills that need. It's quite complex, there are lots of tools. And so taking 2 months really to commit and get the necessary, you know, like foundations in order to strive is very important. But and that's why the bootcamp are so popular, because they really allow that, allow people to really focus and get this foundation in a very concentrated period of time. And that's the only way that really like to transform yourself, because at the end of the day, if you do a bit of a tutorial here and there, you will grow, but it will take you like 2 years, or it's very difficult because it's like a lot of skills to put together and to connect the nodes.
Yeah. Other thing, you're really working for a long time for B2C, right? But B2B is also very important, I think.
Yeah, we can see basically in our industry, we can see a trend that started to trend. There is first a trend on the B2C side on longer programs, apprenticeship, you know, like masters and bachelors. So even bootcamps now are extending a bit, or, you know, investigating into the more traditional school model.
Yeah.
It's the first trend we can see in our market. And as you say, the second trend that's very, very important is the B2B one. It's already the case. If you look at the bootcamp market in the US, lots of like a very big B2B focus, and it's coming a bit, as always, a bit later in Europe than in the US, but there is a big, big focus on B2B, because essentially those skills, as Frank was saying, they are critical for any individual, but they are very, very critical for a company.
Yeah.
Wants to do like embrace AI, like implement data-driven strategy, and basically they need to the company needs to reskill or upskill their employees.
Yeah.
And now they don't want anymore some, you know, license or e-learning. I mean, they still use it, but as a digital literacy tool, like to brand awareness on these topics, raise awareness on these topics among their staff. But at the same time, they do want some very ROI, like impactful training, like bootcamps, to really give the skills to their people that they can use on a daily basis. So I think like we are not anymore in this kind of MOOC or e-learning, where all the learning and development department, HR, were buying a lot of licenses in volume.
Mm-hmm.
At the same level, they put boot camps or this kind of very intensive training, because they do know that they need both in their company in order to make the change.
Yeah, I think the awareness is getting bigger. If you really talk about this topic, the last 2 years or maybe 3 years, it really changed, I think, a lot. Also during Corona or during COVID, it really changed a lot.
But as a business owner myself, like, you say, yeah, training is, I mean, I will be quite bold. You say training is important. But at the end of the day, back in the day, like maybe 2 years, 3 years ago, it was always the last of your decision. I mean, like, it was, okay, if I have extra budget or you know. But now training is becoming a CEO topic.
Yeah.
Because the stakes are so high, then training your teams in data, in AI, in software, especially for big companies, it's not a matter of, you know, like an employee benefit. It's a matter of their strategy. So it becomes more like first on the in the prioritization or like the decision of the C-level. It becomes something that's critical and not anymore something that's treated as, you know, the last leg or something that you will decide later if you do have extra budget.
Is that also what you experience, Frank?
Yes, we see now that the C-level, they don't want to do trainings for their workforces just for the purpose of doing trainings. They want something efficient, of course. And the big advantage of the boot camps, the bootcamp format, is that it's focusing on practice. And we use use cases that are relevant, you know, for the specific industry in which we are delivering these trainings. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, we, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. We use what we are good at from our B2C business.
Yeah.
And we adapt it to the B2B business. And so what we do is, yeah, we use 80% of what we have. And then during 20% will be just contextualization for the specific industry, the specific company, the specific needs that the workforce need. So that's why like the bootcamp format in itself, with this focus on practice and this very short duration is relevant.
Yeah. We will go on talking about this topic in our second part here at Let's Talk Business. First, we will go back in history, and later on we also talk about the trends in the market here at Let's Talk Business.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
Yeah, you're listening to Let's Talk Business. We're here with LeWagon. They help people change their life by teaching them the skills they need to progress in their career, land their dream job in tech, or launch their startup. And we're here with Frank Dirard and Boris Perjaar. We already talked about a lot of topics, but let's go back in history. Boris, you're a global leader in tech education, founded in 2013, like we already said. You did it with your brother, Romain Pelliard, and Sébastien Saunier, right?
Yeah.
That's how it all started.
Yeah, it started like that. Originally, I was a bit bored working in finance, and I wanted to switch my career, so it was in 2012. And I decided to learn to code on my own in order to change and to find a job or launch my own startup ultimately.
Yeah.
And basically doing that, I always loved to teach. I was a private tutor, you know, teaching mathematics, physics. Even in the bank, I was the guy who was sent to explain some mathematical models to, you know, operating teams. So I always loved to explain complicated things in a simple way.
Yeah. What did you really like then?
I mean, at the time, even working in the bank, I had a very technical job. I was working I was a quantitative analyst, so I was building mathematical models for traders. But the part that I prefer in my job was, okay, let's take this very complex, you know, model, and how do you make it, understandable and very clear for an operational team that doesn't need to know everything, but need to use it? It's something that I always loved to teach in a way.
It's also the challenge, I think, and teaching people, both things.
Exactly.
What I hear, yeah.
And for me, so it was the perfect match. So I was learning to code on my own. I discovered that also that there was a way to teach software development in a very more like modern way, because there are modern libraries, so you don't need to teach like the coding classes I got in my, you know, higher education in my engineering school. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, like 2 hours of theory, and then you arrive to a practical session, and it's not at all connected to what you've seen. You don't have like, you don't. It's very old fashioned like tools. You don't know how to set up your computer, so you're basically, you know, spending the whole hour like trying to set up or trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. And code or tech or data, it's not at all that. It's like if you do that with modern tools with the right setup, you can concentrate on building, on creating, and then it's way more fulfilling for anyone.
Yeah.
So I also discovered that if you want to teach these topics, you need to care about, you know, all these technical details about how to really nail how you teach that, because otherwise, all this frustration, it can make everyone like very, you know, like it can really kill the experience. So that's why I discovered at the time. And I launched the company not as a, with a business background. I launched that as a teacher. With, as you say, I launched that with my brother, Romain, and with our technical co-founder, Sébastien. Mm-hmm. And Sébastien and I, we were teaching for the first four years of the company. So I was teaching in Paris. I was teaching then in London. I was teaching in Amsterdam. So, you know, I really built the curriculum. And so I know what it is to have like a class of 20 people that want to change their life with you.
Yeah.
And to be teaching that have very high expectation and to be teaching this person for 2 months. It's a very intensive experience. But I've learned that on my own because I've been teaching for 4 years. And so I built an education business knowing, you know, from the ground, like from not from the business angle, not seeing that as a business, but really from a personal angle, like teaching myself, go, you know, classes after like cohorts after cohorts. And ultimately, I think that's the reason why it got successful is because it was the student experience, the NPS, the outcomes. It was so high that it really engaged our alumni. And all of a sudden, we had something very robust as an experience, as a product. And people started to say, yeah, Boris, I would like to open in Amsterdam. I would like to open in Brussels. I would like to open. And that's how we started. So ourselves, we started to open our own campuses in the big cities like in London and Berlin. And first, we decided to franchise the rest. So because like franchising is a way to go fast and, you know, like... We were bootstrapped, so we didn't have any funding. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we grew for the first 8 years.
Yeah.
By opening the Paris, London, and Berlin ourselves. And because of this community and this very good product, we launched the rest of the network with a franchising model.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So that's how we scaled in the first years of the company.
If you look back at it now, I don't know what the idea was in the beginning. Was this really the plan from the beginning on, Boris? Because as you told now, you know, you start teaching people, you see what works, you see what doesn't work, right? It's also like test and error a little bit like that, right? Try it. Okay, this doesn't work. Okay, yeah, that works. And then it goes on and on and on. You're starting a franchise. Was this from the beginning already a plan or not?
That was never the plan. We never really made a business plan with this. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, let's launch the best training we can, have like an NPS of 80, have a job placement of 100%, you know, like provide the best experience first in Paris.
Yeah, that was the challenge. That was the biggest challenge.
And let's build also a tech platform so that we can have all the content, the lectures recorded, everything on a unique platform that will help maybe us to scale our operation or kill the friction. So I think that was the other important part. Mm-hmm. We invested with my CTO, which is like from a very strong technical background, Sébastien and I, we say, okay, let's build a platform because let's face it, education, it's a human thing. So you don't necessarily need a learning management system or a platform. But for what we're teaching, imagine you're starting to code, you're stuck every 5 minutes. So if you need the teacher to check the code manually and at the same time explain to you things, it's undoable for any teacher. So that's why we needed a platform, because for the kind of education we provide, we're not teaching business or HR. We're teaching something where our students can get literally stuck every 5 minutes. And so if you don't automate a bit part of that with the tech platform, you can't scale. It's impossible because like you rely on the teacher to check every line of code of students and it gets boring because as a teacher, you want to add value to your students. You don't want to do the small tasks that don't have a lot of value. So I think that was the equation, that focus on product, building a tech platform, and focus on the student experience.
Yeah.
And then interestingly, because it's a low bar, like there is a very low barrier entry in this business. Like everyone, you could launch your own bootcamp, you know, in podcasting or, you know, like everyone can, with expertise, can launch a bootcamp. Like you're booking a room, you're doing a bit of marketing. And so at the end of the day, it's not that hard to launch one class, two class. What's hard is like to really then iterate on the curriculum, you know, refine things. And also there are lots in Europe, there are lots of bootcamps that do like maybe 5 million revenue that are niche in one city or one country. So that's something that, you know, like that's not easy if you want to be in the long run, but that's doable. I think for us, our unique differentiator is like we managed to really scale at a level in a very intensive and local industry at a level where no one really has managed to do that. And I think the core of it is focusing on the experience and having a product that give people the desire as Frank in Amsterdam to reproduce that locally and bring the same standard and the same experience to local students.
Yeah, well, I think it's very inspiring because it could be also the other way around, you know? The first idea could also be like, okay, I want to be a global bootcamp company, you know, something like that. But the first thing, the why, was really, okay, we really want to have a great experience. We really want to have a great bootcamp. That's the most important thing. And from that on, it was going bigger and bigger and bigger. The other challenge is also, I think, also for you, Frank, it all started like this, but now you're operating in so many countries. You still want to have that main important thing, that people are very interested, that they really have that good feeling around the bootcamp, that they really learn a lot and that they also don't stop, right, doing those 9 weeks or doing those 6 months. How do you really do that, especially when you're this big now as a company?
So we believe that people can learn anytime in their lives, in their career. So yeah, we start with these boot camps, you know, but then we provide other type of learning opportunities with skill courses for like shorter programs for people that already have full-time jobs and that want to upskill in a very specific domain. Mm-hmm. Of course, our students, they keep access to the platform that they use to learn during the bootcamp for life. Yeah. And so this way they can update themselves. And so we rely on the community, the students becoming alumni, they can rely on the network of 23,000 people worldwide. And that's like a big, big strength also for them to keep on learning and keep having opportunities in the tech industry.
Yeah, and feedback is then also, I think, very important for you, right? To really hear and see, hey, what is going on?
The feedback that we receive from the
students and everything.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we you know, we have bootcamps that are 9 weeks long. So we have, for instance, in Amsterdam, in-person bootcamps that are being run four times a year, mm-hmm. one every quarter. And we have around 3 weeks in between each bootcamp to try to, you know, iterate and integrate the feedback that we get from the students, from the teachers, from the batch managers, and so we, this way we can update the learning content, but also the way we provide and run these boot camps, so that we first adapt to the needs of the market, mm-hmm. the tech trends, but also the way people want to learn, and yeah, this way we make sure that we can improve over the time, and very often, you know, like four times a year, we can really add updates and improve.
Yeah, that's very important, I think. Boris, if you're now like 10 years, right? It's all started in 2013. It's almost a new year now, but okay, let's make it 10 years. What did you really learn the last couple of years? So not in the beginning, but more like the last couple of years.
I think that, yeah, the last, so we've gone through, like we raised our first Series A fundraising like 4 years ago, you know, like in 2020.
Yeah.
So because like there was this first period of bootstrap, like franchising, growing in 20 countries with mostly one program, one bootcamp in web development. Then we launched the data science, then we launched the part-time. So that was the first, you know, stage of the adventure. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, at some point, we decided to raise money to integrate all the franchise. The reason we did that, it was the market was changing. New jobs like data science, AI, data analytics, like now like gross marketing, they were coming like fast, also with the impact of AI,
yeah,
that transforming job at an even faster pace. So for us, franchise was great if you have one product to scale, you know, and something that's very oiled and very, you know, like a super robust machine, it's great to scale first. But if you want to innovate, launch tests and launch new bootcamps, you know, like launch an online line for people who can't go to the in-person bootcamps, then the franchise is not the best model because you cannot force any franchisee to launch a new program. When you're launching online, then there is a big question like for the franchisee, like, well, you're taking my students. So it creates all this complexity, basically, that it's hard to manage in a changing education world with the after COVID world where people also get more and more used to learning online. So we can see the change in those learning habits. And for us, that's why we raise money. We say, okay, we need to consolidate really the group, to launch our online, like, you know, online bootcamps, to launch more at a more frequent pace new programs. That's what we did this year with data analytics. That's what we're doing next year with the growth marketing program, you know, like in the second part of the year. So, and for that, we needed really to work as a consolidated company. Mm-hmm. And so to come back to your question, so I think, as I said, like the learning habits, we can see a more adoption. First, I was skeptical, you know, after COVID, we all say, yeah, but this has been like some short trend that was just connected to COVID. And maybe we'll get back to normal. But the reality, and there is, we are all, no one is going back to work, you know, like remote work is here to stay. And I think remote learning is a bit the same. It's something that's, as you get used to work this way, you get used to learn this way.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I can see now that's a trend that's here to stay. And we can see our online business that's growing fast and that represents nearly 30% of our, no, of all our students now. But I would think that it will grow faster and faster in the next year. And the other thing is that as the jobs are changing even faster with the, you know, the rise of AI, it means for us, I mean, for traditional school, it's impossible because they were already stuck in something that, you know, they build curriculum and they will maybe change their curriculum every 10 years or so. For a traditional school, it's impossible to follow the pace of technology. But even for us as a tech education modern provider, we need to innovate at a faster pace as well. So what I discovered is like we needed to a bit change from a more niche bootcamp that's doing very well to programs. So that's what we learned the last 2 years. We need to reinvent a bit ourselves to really build this content team.
Yeah.
To be able not just to maintain and our existing bootcamp so they stay cutting edge and, you know, like up to the align with the standard of the job market, but we also need to investigate into new bootcamps on new jobs. And I think this was a bit like, how do you have something that's working very well? How do you challenge that into bringing all this additional complexity?
Yeah.
Because like it brings a lot of additional complexity, you know, if you become a multi-product, like a content company. And I think that that's, for me, the real challenge and the lessons is like, maybe doing that sometimes we lost the focus. And that's, for me, the big risk of a company that's so spread as Le Wagon, because we seem big, but we are not so, I mean, we have the complexity of a multinational. But we are, you know, like a small business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I think that in this environment, managing this complexity, it's a big, big challenge. And that's the big lessons I learned, like how to, you know, try to pick your battle, but still not kill your innovation. That's this, you know, very, very difficult balance to find, but I find it also very interesting.
Yeah, a great challenge. How is it for you, Frank? What are your biggest learnings the last couple of years?
Well, it's quite aligned with what Boris is saying. Sorry, the tech industry is so diverse. We have students that are coming from so many different backgrounds and also coming for different reasons. So we have people, you know, that are just getting out of their studies that want to gain some more practical skills before they enter the job market. We have people that are career changers. People that are already working in the field that want to gain some more skills to upskill. And also, you know, like, it's amazing because we've had students that were musicians before, butchers. So like in the end, these bootcamps, they are, it's showing that anyone can get in the tech industry. And we have a lot of bootcamps that are beginner friendly. And then that can, deliver, you know, very various jobs as well. So of course technical jobs, but also jobs that are supporting these technical jobs, you know, like all these jobs of product manager, for instance, HR, tech recruiter, like, you know, and so it's very interesting. And that's my main learning in the past years, that we can actually have like a lot of very diverse students, and we need to also manage expectations and make sure that we can adapt to their needs.
Yeah.
And provide them with the right opportunities depending on their ambitions.
Yeah, nice lesson, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the trends and innovations in the third part of Let's Talk Business. But first, music.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
You're still listening to Let's Talk Business. We're here with Frank Dirar and Boris Pelliar, both from Lewagen. Well, we already talked about a lot of things, right? But let's go on with the trends and the future. Boris, to start with you, also as a person, like we already said in the second part, innovating is very important also for you as a company, but also as a person. How do you do that as a person? How do you innovate? How do you evolve all the time? Where do you get the inspiration?
It's a very interesting question. I think that we managed to do that because now I think with the company, we've built this network, you know, of 3,000 tech experts. So a lot of them are alumni, but some alumni who graduated maybe like 10 years or 8 years ago, who since then have learned AI or no code or, you know, a lot of new skills. And the way we operate, we don't hire like full-time instructors like most of the traditional training companies. We really rely on this community of tech freelancers, you know, like 3,000 tech freelancers, because they know they are practicing that on a daily basis. And these people, we rely a lot on them for teaching, of course, our course. That's how they know the curriculum by heart. So that's how they provide like a unique student experience, and because they are practitioners. But also, it's a way for us now that we are launching new content to keep like very, very connected, because these persons are working for a lot of companies on AI, on no code, on gross marketing, on, you know, you name it, on a lot of tech topics.
Yeah.
And so it means that we have all these, you know, experts that can challenge us into, okay, what's the new curriculum that we're launching? What are the real tools that the, you know, the market, the companies are looking for? What are the real skills that we need to practice? For instance, we launched the Data Analytics Bootcamp this year, and we have this really interesting discussion. Okay, of course, Data Analytics, there are a lot of data visualization or dashboarding tools or lots of technical aspect to it, doing some SQL or whatever. But also, a real data analyst is someone who understands business KPI, you know, what matters, like who is able to liaise with the business. And so I think that's really important to be connected to the people who know, you know, what's required by, because we're educators, we cannot be at the same time, you know, building curriculums and working a full-time job as data analyst. So we need to be connected with real person who practice, and they will challenge us. They will say, okay, of course, it's technical, but let's start with the 101 of business KPI, because that's what a good data analyst needs to learn in the first week. And I think that's how we manage to leverage this community with a very community-driven way of staying relevant, updating our content, launching relevant new courses because of this amazing community that we've built of you know, more than 3,000 freelance tech experts.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also very inspiring because we're making this program for a lot of entrepreneurs, right? I think it's very important to have experts next to you where you can learn from, so you can learn from each other, and that's the way how you grow. And I also think you're also doing that in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, so in our data analytics bootcamp, for instance, that we launched recently, we have a lot of teachers that are professionals, so they have... they're you know, following the learning content that we have, but they are bringing real life examples to the table, which makes it super relevant for the students.
Yeah.
And it's a way also for the students to connect with professionals that are based here in the Netherlands. So we have a strong local teaching community here in the Netherlands. And we provide career services, so to provide, again, networking and hiring opportunities to our students. And it's a way for us, so the Lewagen staff, to learn about the trends, to learn about the needs of the companies. Based on that, we can also give better advice to our students that are, you know, looking into working in the Netherlands.
Yeah, talking about that, what are the trends and what are the needs now, especially now?
What we see, and globally, there's this interesting stat that Boris was sharing actually a few months ago from the World Economic Forum of Future of Jobs report that says that 60% of the jobs of the next 20 years, they don't exist yet.
Yeah.
And so
that's quite a lot, huh?
Yeah, and that makes it very, very interesting for us to always be out there and trying to understand how the markets evolve. And we are updating our curriculum with taking into account these new trends. So for instance, adding more JavaScript in our web development bootcamp recently, we see in data, for instance, the rise of generative AI. So this is also something that we are including now in our curriculum. So very important for us to provide the students with the tools and technologies that are relevant today in the market. So that first they can get more hiring opportunities, but also have a good understanding of the whole ecosystem, the whole data ecosystem, you know, like having like a good overview of the tools and technologies that are out there.
Yeah, yeah. How do you look at it? Boris, the trends nowadays, what are the biggest trends now?
Well, I think there is something quite, if you step back a bit, something quite logical. So you teach people how to code and develop software. This software generates a lot of data that you need to, you know, centralize, analyze, and, you know, use for prediction. Mm-hmm. And then with all this data comes vulnerability that you need to manage with cybersecurity. So I think that there is this quite, you know, logical funnel of, the more the world is building software, the more it generates data to use, and the more it creates as well like some weaknesses and vulnerability. So I think that there is from software development to data in a very, and data is very broad, from the analyst to the AI engineer that will build a machine learning model. So there are a lot of jobs. Also, some managers that are technical. So back in the day, we were speaking about product manager that were working with developers and designers to develop the right product aligned with the business, you know, like objectives. Now we can see the same kind of jobs, but with people that are more on the data business or AI business. And so instead of working with developers, they need to work with data scientists and not really designers, because at the end, it's more the algorithm and the interface. Maybe it's not that important. So it requires a new kind of managers that are very technical, but now that understand very deeply what is data science, what is AI, because they will work and coordinate with people like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but to come back to this big funnel, software development is not going to, you know, is going to stay. Lots of people are predicting that, like, you know, AI or whatever will replace software. But at the end of the day, even AI needs at some point feature interface, you know, like something that people can use. So I think that that's even like just creating a new kind of software needs. But it's still requiring software developers, and we can see also the limits of these AI tools into what they are not capable of doing. And I think, like, yeah, managing a big software with hundreds of files, you need a lot of know-how. And of course, it's a great support and assistance to use AI for productivity. But yeah, I think software is here to stay, and of course, data for us, we can see that as a main thing. And if I get more granular, job like data engineer, so the people who are data engineer, at the end of the day, is a developer, you know, is a back end developer, but really that with some extra data skills. But it's someone will build the data infrastructure to centralize, you know, all the data coming from all websites and services, and in order for this data to be able to be used by analysts or by data scientists or by other people in the company. And we can see, if you look at the trends on LinkedIn, data engineer or growth marketing, these are the jobs that we can see have the most fast growing trends. They are still quite niche because, of course, for a company, a company will hire maybe 10 data analysts for, you know, one data engineer. So if we look at the numbers, of course, it's still, but with the importance of AI, the need to consolidate you know, the data infrastructure with engineers, it's also growing. So we can see also this, we look at the funnel very wide like that, but we also enter into the granular jobs about, okay, in the big data, you know, bucket, what are the jobs that, you know, we can see? And as Frank say, we don't try to anticipate what will be the job in 2 years because no one can. So what matters to us is what the job, you know, that matter in the next 6 months or in the next year, basically.
Yeah, it goes so quickly, in the tech world. So we cannot really see what will happen in the future. I would love to talk with you quite longer, but we're almost at the end of the show. what can we expect for the future, also for you as a company? What are the biggest steps now?
For us, I think we are working also on a new fundraising. For us, the challenge is also to be backed with investors that can be with us on the long run. Because I mean, look at all the big schools that we all know. Like, look at I don't compare Leeuwagen to Harvard, but anyway, these are companies. Education takes time, and yeah. I've been there in the business for 10 years. And my dream is that Leeuwagen is still there in 30 years. But with this quarterly cycle, with everything changing, sometimes even if we are robust, profitable, growing, it's still something that's very intense for Frank, for all our team. So for me, to be also backed with a kind of investor that understand the challenge of education, that are not just on the tech side, but also on the regulatory side. In Europe, you cannot build an education company if you don't master the regulation in France, if you don't master the regulation. So for us, I think this is the big challenge. And I really dream is to manage to be backed by the right partner in order to keep doing what we are doing and changing people's lives, but really protecting ourselves on 30 years, 40 years, and being a bit less, always staying short term in the way we look at jobs, but being a bit long term as well for the brand to grow and be here to stay, basically.
Yeah, and Frank, in Amsterdam, what are the new steps also?
I think it's we want to consolidate our position as a global leader in immersive tech training, but this comes with challenges where, of course, we want to reach more people, like enable more people to get these tech skills to work in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And so working on making our bootcamps more affordable, more inclusive. Working on initiatives for women to get into tech. There are a lot of challenges that we see locally to first, strengthen our position, but also reach more people, become more diverse. Of course, with this constraint of keeping the quality of the learning experience, whether it's on the learning and learning content or on the whole experience with the format of these bootcamps.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story, and I wish you all the best also for the future. I think it's going to be wonderful. Up to the next coming years, next 10 years, right, Boris?
Yeah, next 20 or 30 years. Thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you so much, Boris and Frank. Thank you.
Thank you.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.